Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Today on the show, the Lakers pick up a nice, comfortable win north of the border. They were able to stay healthy, get LeBron and AD plenty of rest on the first night of a back-to-back. We even got lengthy Max Christie minutes with Cam Reddish out for personal reasons and Gabe Vincent resting after his return back to the court. You know what? I really don't have that much to complain about. We really need to find me something to complain about, right? Like every time I start to feel like this, bad things start happening. So let's knock on some wood. Let's find a rabbit's foot. Let's figure out something that I can whine about that will keep the juju going in the direction that it is currently going in. I'm Anthony Irwin of LakersDaily.com. And by the way, for Lakers Daily, I am currently working on my latest there. And for a quick preview, things seem pretty good. And I detail some of what is going on behind the scenes with the Lakers, especially since Rui Hachimura started. But yeah, let's talk about this game. If you guys have any questions or comments, I think there's going to be time on the back end of the show to get to that as well. So fire those away. If you guys are watching live on YouTube, please do hit that subscribe button and keep this thing rolling in the right direction. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge is where you can find us. If you guys are watching or if you guys are listening in the morning via podcast, please do hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts, preferably Odyssey. And also, you know, screw it. Subscribe to the show on YouTube as well and watch or listen that way as well. If you guys know anybody who is looking for any kind of a podcast or any kind of a Lakers podcast, let them know. There's this weirdo who is based in Austin, Texas, who talks about his kids probably a little too much, enjoys to record a show with a nice glass of vino. Cheers, by the way, to everybody who is watching. Brad Turner, I see, is in Napa. So we're basically doing the same thing right now, Brad Turner and I. So yeah, that is going to be the this episode here, and that was all the clerical work that needs to be gotten done and out of the way before we dive into the real deal. So the Lakers beat the Toronto Raptors 128-111. The game was not even that close, as there was lengthy garbage time there in the fourth period. The Lakers at one point were up by 30 points and held that 30-point lead there for a little while. Nice kind of balanced effort here tonight. You look across the starters especially, where AD goes for 21 and 12. Rui Hachimura goes for 14, 4 and 4. LeBron goes for 23, 9 and 4. D'Angelo Russell goes for 25 and 7. The only guy who had like a relatively quiet night was Austin Reeves. He scored 7 points on only 2 of 9 shooting. If the Lakers weren't in such a tough spot, or if Gabe Vincent was a little healthier, I would say it would make some sense for Austin to get a night off. His legs look absolutely tired. And we're going to also keep an eye on Jovan Buha. I just saw a tweet out. LeBron James says how he feels tomorrow morning will determine how he play or it, whether he plays against Washington on the second night of a back-to-back Wednesday. This is a nice, easier back-to-back, right? Toronto is pretty terrible, and Washington is like, there's terrible, and then there's awful, like there's god-awful, there is abomination levels, and then somewhere below there by a few levels is where the Washington Wizards currently reside. So whether LeBron James plays or not, the Lakers should be able to take care of business tomorrow against the Washington Wizards. You look to the bench, right? The other night, one of my, you know, kind of few complaints the other night was that the bench was kind of quiet. You got a little bit more production. Some of it is kind of weighted by the amount of garbage time you got, but Torian Prince played 24 minutes, went 2 of 2 from the 3-point line, 3 of 8 from the field. Kind of a weird shooting night for Torian Prince. He finishes with 8, 5, and 5. Max Christie scores 12 points of his own to go with 7 boards and 3 assists. You had Spencer Dinwiddie play 25 minutes. He scored 9 points, was a plus 20 on the game, which is second to only D'Angelo Russell. So Spencer Dinwiddie continues to do all of the little things. It's funny. Being successful next to LeBron and AD really isn't that tricky, right? Just do the little things. Don't screw up and do the little things, and your on or off numbers are probably going to look pretty good. On Toronto's side, there was no Gary Trent Jr. There was no Jakob Poeltl for Toronto. You did get RJ Barrett back. Emmanuel Quickley also played. Kelly Olynyk was available in this one. And, you know, the Toronto kind of hung around, especially in the first half. But then midway through the third period, the Lakers really started pulling away and were able to take care of business. And in a game that, A, is very important, right? You can't lose dumb games like this one. B, took care of it in important fashion, as the Lakers were able to keep AD and LeBron under 30 minutes apiece. Again, we'll see how those guys feel in the morning as they figure out whether or not they're going to give it a go against the Washington Wizards. The hope there, like, I think ideally those guys both play, but you beat the crap out of Washington to an extent where they play like 25 minutes or so. But, you know, that might be wishful thinking on my part. But yeah, overall, nice balanced effort for the Lakers as they take care of business against a Toronto Raptors team that, you know, traded away Pascal Siakam, traded away OG Anunoby, and is getting ready to rebuild. But that makes this kind of game all the more important, because you have to win your winnable ones to, you know, not just keep pace, right? The Lakers want to leapfrog Phoenix. So the Lakers have to win their winnable games and then maybe steal a couple of their tougher ones in order to pass up Phoenix, and we'll see what they're able to do. Throughout the game, I'll be giving updates on the other games that are going on as, let's see, who all is in action tonight. So you have the Clippers are in action against the Kings. That game is not until, it's not for another 20 minutes or so. Kawhi Leonard is not going to be playing in that one. The Suns are not playing tonight. The Warriors are playing. They're playing against the Dallas Mavericks. And the Houston Rockets are currently down 3 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So as all of this is going to, as we go along with the rest of the show, I will be checking in on those games periodically as well. Not great, obviously, for the listening audience in the morning, but for those of you who are watching along with me right now, we can keep an eye on the league together. Couple kind of specific player, player specific notes here from this game before we get to some of the comment section. First and foremost, the way that LeBron is playing is really signaling it's go time, right? In the beginning, beginning of the game, and then kind of throughout, you know, the early parts of that game, you saw him, you know, with a real pep in his step. Obviously, the way he shot against the Brooklyn Nets is great, but he's just a different kind of dialed in. And I know other guys have talked about it from the Lakers who have said, yeah, he's kind of turned it into playoff mode, as the Lakers need to go out and win as many games as they possibly can, whether that is to keep pace in the Western Conference, playoff or play-in picture, or to, again, ideally leapfrog at least one of Sacramento or Phoenix. But for now, you know, you watch LeBron play, and it's really clear that the goal is right out there for everybody to be able to see it. It is time to start getting your stuff together. It's time to start really focusing on making winning plays and staying engaged throughout. And that message is a resounding one. It is certainly landing with his teammates, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. And when you play the way that LeBron did against Brooklyn and against Toronto tonight, it makes it that much easier to handle those back-to-back kind of situations, right? Stu Lance talked about it during the telecast that, you know, the Showtime teams would essentially go out and beat the ever-living piss out of the team that they're playing in the first night of a back-to-back so that they can all get their rest and have a little bit of extra oomph for the second night of that back-to-back. And I think that's kind of how I prefer to do it. I know usually LeBron likes to kind of pace himself through the game and do just enough to go out and get yourself a win. I also know that the Lakers have been really bad this year, like oddly bad at holding those big leads, and you wind up sweating out some of those excuse me, in ways that you would prefer not to. So that, you know, it, you know, plays a role in how much nicer this game was as well. But so long as LeBron goes out and sets that kind of a tone, you're always going to like the Lakers' chances. And, you know, here's hoping that that kind of continues here moving forward. The other guy who I was just marveling at in this one, D'Lo shoots 7 of 14 from three-point range. At one point, I think he was 7 of 12, I think, if not 7 of 10. And kind of fell off there at the very end as he kind of got up a few heat checks there at the very end. But you watch D'Lo play, and now it's kind of nice because, again, Toronto is not playing really any defense at this point. They have really kind of closed up shop. So that's going to help D'Lo. There isn't the physicality on the perimeter that you would normally see against a Toronto Raptors team. But, you know, you also, for D'Lo's sake, you guys know this about me. I'm a shooting nerd. I love watching somebody shoot the ball well. D'Lo obviously has had the greatest single season any shooter has ever had for the Los Angeles Lakers in organization history. And, you know, you're really watching this guy at like kind of the peak of his powers in terms of shooting. And in this one, you know, he had it going again where you really know D'Lo has it going. And he catches the ball on the perimeter, and he catches it kind of up here, and the ball barely goes down. He just goes right into a shooting motion. That's when you really know he's got it going. And then when you really, really know he has it going, he's putting enough arc and touch on the ball so that when the ball is going through the rim, the net's barely moving. And it's just, it is about as pretty as a shooter can get. And it is, you know, really a sight to behold, really fun to watch. And I also thought that, like, in this one, you know, you look at his numbers, again, 25 points. He had 7 assists to go with 4 turnovers is a little high. But, you know, when he's playing the way that he is right now and how he has for most of this season, there's just, like, this freedom to the way that he plays. And, you know, when it's going really well and the Lakers are winning, it's beautiful to watch him play with that type of, you know, unrelenting, just kind of, I don't give a bleep. This is how I like to play basketball. And when it's working, it's just gorgeous. When it isn't working, it's a little maddening. And for far more of this season, it has worked more than it has not. And in this one, it certainly was working. He had it going, especially from deep. And, you know, the ball was barely in his hands for all of a second on some of those attempts. And the ball is just barely moving the net when it's going through. And it's just beautiful, beautiful basketball, the way he's playing, or the way he played in this one. And, I can't say enough about, like, how fun that is for me to watch. Because, again, you guys know this, right? The sounder between segments is a ball swishing through the basket. That is not a coincidence. I love that sound. It is the best sound in all of sports, other than like maybe the crack of a bat on a homer. Other than that, like that is about it. And D'Lo, the way he was shooting tonight, gave you plenty of this. All right, let's go to the comments section here before we take another look at what's going on around the league. Brandon Oeming gave us a super comment, which means... Fuck Boston! Somebody asked me why I play that. I play it because fuck Boston. That's about it. Brandon Oeming writes, I really wonder what happens with Gabe and his minutes. It's the starters and Spencer Dinwiddie, TP, and Vando when we'll say we're, I'm going to continue to say if Vando comes back, and then Hayes will probably match up the dependent. I mean, that was part of what I wrote in my report for Gabe, is that part of this is that the Lakers were a little iffy on whether or not he was going to be physically ready to return. And there is certainly still some question as to whether or not Gabe is going to be able to ride out the rest of the season. On top of that, though, where's the opportunity going to come from, right? And, you know, again, I hope that all is okay with Cam Reddish. I hope that, you know, he was able to take care of whatever he needed to take care of that would, you know, stop him from being available in this last game. But I also don't necessarily think it's that crazy a leap to wonder if Gabe comes back. Cam, who has already had a very frustrating season as is, sees his minutes greatly diminish and needs to step away from the team a little bit to kind of recollect his thoughts and his passion as he is now looking at, look, like for Cam, he's running out of opportunities in this league, right? And, you know, he does have a player option. So worst comes to worst, he can return to the Lakers after this season if he doesn't get the offers that he's looking to get. But I'm sure he's kind of looking around and he's saying, man, even this option kind of dried up after it was looking so promising at the beginning of the season. And he's probably looking around wondering like, man, where's my opportunity going to come from after this? If this, you know, if this didn't earn me a bigger, longer term contract, where is that going to come from? And, you know, with Gabe back, it doesn't necessarily surprise me that he would have to kind of step away and collect himself a little bit. So hopefully everything is okay. And it is just that, all thoughts and prayers and support goes to Cam if he's dealing with something more serious than that. But if it is that he is kind of upset about, I kind of understand it. He went from being the top high school prospect in the country to a high lottery pick to kind of a bust. And now he's looking at a situation here where Gabe comes back and takes up all of the opportunity that he thought he saw for himself without Gabe being available in the rotation. And he might be a little frustrated. So, all that said, like, even that is to say that I don't know necessarily where Gabe fits into this, especially if Jared Vanderbilt is back. If Vando is back, then there, I would argue, is no minutes available for Gabe. Or if there are, it's like in that 5 to 10 minute range where, you know, you need to spell somebody in foul trouble, or you throw him out there and see if he can knock down a couple shots, or it's matchup dependent for an opposing guard who's really giving D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves problems out there. But for the most part, I don't know where Gabe's minutes are going to come from. And, you know, it's certainly something that is worth keeping an eye on here for the rest of the season. Next question here comes from Ryan Evans. If we end up having to play the Nuggets, are you in the play-in then round while we're most fresh boat, or would you rather wait until the Western Conference Finals? The freshness, I think, is a factor there. I would rather wait just to see if somebody else knocks him out, personally, just being the most pragmatic that I can possibly be here, and just say, like, you know, they might run into a tougher matchup, right? Phoenix gives them some issues in terms of personnel with the way that Phoenix can knock down shots. If they see Steph, if the Lakers were able to get into the playoffs, the Nuggets at this point would not be seeing Steph. But like if they see Sacramento and Sacramento shoots the ball like crazy, maybe that, you know, affects, you know, the likelihood that you might see Denver or whatever. I personally would rather not see Denver this year. I just don't think that that's going to go very well for the Lakers. So the longer that you wait, it means that you are going to be that much more tired when you see them, or if you see them, but that does give you a couple opportunities to have somebody else take care of business. And maybe you get a better matchup in the Western Conference Finals than you would against the Denver Nuggets. I just, I know I sound Debbie Downer on this front. I've just watched the same version of the game take place over and over and over and over again. And it is not something that I'm particular. I hate that movie, right? It's like, you watch enough of like the, you know, whatever Halloween movie it is. And it's, you know, Jason killing a whole bunch of people. And you're like, all right, that was okay. The first time we're doing it again. We're doing it again. We're doing it how many more times? That's essentially what we've watched here with the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers, where you're like, I mean, again, we're going to watch him massacre all of these people all over again. Jokic even walks. Jokic even plays like Mike Myers, essentially. So I'm good. I'm good on seeing the Denver Nuggets. I really, really am. We did get another super comment here from Justin Tindall, which means... Jovan tweeted the starters, and it's the 20th time that they have started together. They have a 14-6 record, and it's game 76. We should be trying to get home court in the first round and not be in the play-in. Yeah, I mean, like that's a real source of consternation, not just with the fan base, but I think some other people. I'm going to write about this for Lakers Daily. There are some other people who are like, man, it sure would be nice to not have to look ahead to a potential path through single game settings against Steph Curry and then potentially also against the Phoenix Suns. So, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and all of the incredible shooters that, like, in a one game setting, all it takes is one of those teams to knock you out and end your season because you messed around and found out at the beginning part of the season. So, Jovan's numbers says that it's the 20th. Oh, I see what there's. So, because I'm currently writing about this, and coming into tonight, that group had actually played 25 games. Not that group has not played 25 games together, but the Lakers have played 25 games since the first time Rui Hachimura was inserted to the starting lineup alongside D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, LeBron, and AD. And they, coming into this one, were 17-8. And then now they are now 18-8 in now 26 games that the Lakers have played. And, you know, yeah, it's a big what if. Just like it's also a what if watching Max Christie play. I'm like, sure would have been nice to not mess around with so much Cam Reddish minutes and have Max Christie not just help your team win, because I think he does help you win. But on top of that, I think he really, you know, he's a big part of your future moving forward, and you don't necessarily know what you have from him either. So before, by the way, you have to pay him this offseason. So there's a bunch of what ifs from this year. And honestly, at this point, you know, like Jovan says, it's game 76, and you only have a handful of games left to try to climb up as high as you possibly can. And then it's really, really go time, right? Then it's, you know, you got to take care of business against whoever it is that you face off against, whether it's in the play-in or hopefully in the playoffs. And, you know, all of the messing around and finding out doesn't really matter as much in those settings, because now it just becomes, how good can you possibly be? How well can you possibly match up with the team that you're facing off against, and how best can you adjust when it comes time to adjust? Because that's what happens over the course of every, not just game, but especially seven game series. So yeah, I certainly, Justin, we are all here with you saying, God, it would be nice if, you know, we didn't have to sit here and sweat out whether or not the Sacramento Kings are going to play Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. That'd be great. But by the way, the Kings are playing without Malik Monk in that game, Monk down with an MCL sprain. So, you know, obviously all the best to Malik in making a full recovery there. But what ifs are always kind of worthless. That's why you always hear professional athletes and, you know, celebrities and say that they don't do regret and all that stuff. And it's like, you're a human being. I'm sure you do regret. But in this case, it doesn't do you any good. You just got to, you know, ignore the rear view, look out through that windshield and take care of whatever you have to take care of for the remainder of this, this road that the Lakers find themselves on. All right, that is going to do it for this shorter episode of the Lakers Lowdown podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in the way that you did and the way that you have. Please do hit that subscribe button, whether you find us on YouTube. That is youtube.com/@LakersLounge, where you can find us. If you find us on in pod form, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. And if you have other Laker fans who are looking to find some Lakers content, send them our way as well. Say the door is always open at the Lakers Lounge. Well, maybe not always, as I'm currently about to start closing the door, but you know what I mean. So until the next time you guys hear from me, which is going to be, you know, tomorrow night after the Lakers play the Washington Wizards, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you in the next.